Hey everyone, so glad to be back. Today, I have a message to share with you, and the title of the message is, Don't Waste Your Time. It's time to stop wasting your time. It is time. You know, we all have been thinking about time probably in the past 6 months. I would say I've been thinking about it more than I have ever been before because there's been so much time that I've spent during this COVID time that I've realized some of the things that I've done in the past, that some of the activities that I've put time and effort into before the COVID thing broke out are just useless, and I can actually live without right now in this moment. And I'm sure you've looked at over your life and you've looked at different things and activities that you've been involved with before COVID, and you're actually realizing that you have so much more time now. And I think we all can say that all of a sudden we got our life back. We have more time. You know, I used to hear people say, well, I'm busy, I don't have time, before this whole thing broke out. Everybody's always going around. Society was so busy, and we were all always going, and you know, our schedules were full. But it seems like right now we have all the time in the world. And if you notice the beginning of the pandemic, going back to March, it seemed like the time had slowed down, really slowed down. Like the first month, we were all locked down at home, and it was sort of like, hey, we got all this time. What are we going to do? And then I would say in the past couple of weeks or maybe a month or two, as things are starting to open up and life is getting back into shape, more of a normal shape, I guess, is we are seeing time accelerate. And I don't know if you're like me, you know, I'm just thinking about June was just around the corner. Now we're July, August, we're already in September, and Christmas is just around the corner too. So the time is sped up, and it's going back to what it used to be before COVID. And in the past 2 weeks, there's two things that happened. One thing is I officiated a funeral of a gentleman that was 93 years old, and it was actually a gentleman, he was a grandfather of one of our members here at the church, and lived a long life, and I was officiating that. And, you know, when you officiate a funeral, you are reminded of how short this life is. And then just recently, about 2 weeks ago, or about a week ago, we've heard of a famous actor, because I and my boys are really into Avengers, and Black Panther is one of our favorite Avengers. Unfortunately, Chad was 43 years old, and he passed away as well. And these two events were not connected in any way, but it did remind me again of how our time on this earth is so short and so brief. For those of you that are older, you may be thinking, well, where did all this time go by? And as we're getting older, and I'm looking at my kids growing up, and Luca now being almost as tall as I am, and he's now 10, looking at his life, I'm thinking to myself, wow, where did this time go? And it seems like more and more we're asking this question of time. And the funny thing is, we as a society, we are, I guess, one of the most popular questions that we ask as humans, and you probably ask it a few times throughout the day, probably just like me, and you don't even notice that you ask it because it's sort of like a part of your DNA of who you are. But we always ask this question, and the question is, what time is it? What time is it? And funny, I do wear a watch, but even when I don't wear a watch, I'm sort of aware of my time and my schedule, and I know what I have coming, and in my mind, I've scheduled things, and whether it's a meeting or whether it's a time to do work or whether it's to do something or to pray or to read or whatever, you know, it seems like we as a society, even if we don't have a watch and we're not aware of time, we kind of know our time. And better question that I'd like to ask you this morning is, wouldn't it be better if we start asking not what time is it, but what am I doing with my time? What am I doing with my time, and what are you doing with your time? I think that would be a better question, and that's my question for you today. What are you doing with your time? You know, our time can be either invested or wasted. And somebody once said, time is, you can't fight with time. You can't have a conversation with time. time is just going to pass by, and there's nothing you can do about it. You can't have an argument with time and say, hey, slow down. No, the time is just going to pass by, and it's not going to ask any questions, and you're just going to have to deal with it. You know, somebody once said that the tragedy of life is not death, but what we let die inside us while we live. And I would say the tragedy of life isn't death, but wasting your time on things that do not make an eternal difference. It really begins with us being spiritually alive and awakened. A lot of us waste our time on things that do not make difference. And as time passes on, as we get older, the question becomes, are we really focusing on things that matter? Are we really focusing on things that are worth our time? And like I said, the time can be wasted or time can be invested. I would say how you spend your time is more important than how you spend your money even. So how do we focus on what matters, and how do we live a meaningful life? First, I do want to point out that all of us have a purpose, and God has a plan for all of our lives. Time under heaven to accomplish something that a mission that he has put on us that we are to accomplish. So what am I doing with my time is the question that I would like you to ask yourself. What am I doing with my time? Ecclesiastes 3 says this simply. It says, for everything there is a season and a time for every matter under heaven. A time to be born and a time to die. A time to plant and a time to pluck up what is planted. A time to plant and a time to pluck up what is planted. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to break down and a time to build up. A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. A time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together. A time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. And then he moves on in the same book to chapter 12. And I love how the Message version puts this together. It says, life, lovely while it lasts, it soon is over. Life as we know it, precious and beautiful, ends. The body we put back in the same ground it came from, and the spirit returns to God who first breathed it. Now, I love this. And I thought about maybe naming my message after this verse, but then I changed my mind. He said, it's all smoke. Nothing but smoke. Everything is a smoke. It's funny, you know. I was just out with the boys camping, and when you make a fire, and those of you that love those fires at night and in the summer, you know, whether it's you're having fun with marshmallows or whatever, you know, when you're making the fire, it's so exciting. You make it, but then there's this smoke that just comes out, but the smoke disappears quickly. It's like you're looking at the smoke and you can't keep a track of it because it's there and it sort of just fades away. And that's how our life is. In God's eyes, that's really what our life is. Moses mentioned something beautiful in Psalm 90, which we'll focus on more now. He says, this is actually a prayer of Moses. And for those of you who don't know who Moses is, Moses was... He grew up in a palace. He lived a long life, actually. He lived 120 years. God blessed him with a long life. But if you look at his seasons, he had about three seasons of his life. About first 40 years, he was living in the palace. Then he did something bad. He killed an Egyptian because he got angry how he treated a Jew that was there, one of the slaves. And then he went on into the wilderness. And he was 40 years out wandering with his life, tending sheep and doing whatever he was doing, kind of staying on a low radar. But then God calls him out at the burning bush experience at the age of 80 to go and talk to Pharaoh and deliver the nation of Israel from the slavery. And then obviously Moses didn't think he could do it. He's trying to argue God and say, well, I can't really speak. I don't really, you know, plus he probably thought of his age. He's 80. He's almost towards the end of his life. By the numbers and what he was writing. But then we all know what happened. The 10 plagues happened. And he took the nation of Israel out of Egypt. And then in the wilderness, there was a promise that the Israel will enter the promised land, but he never entered it. But in the wilderness, he prays a prayer. He leaves us with something that I believe we can look at right now. And the only psalm that he's ever written is account of Moses, this prayer in Psalm 90. And this is what he says. I'm not going to read the whole thing, just a couple of verses. He says, "You turn people back to dust, saying, 'Return to dust, you mortals. A thousand years in your sight is like a day that has just gone by, or like a watch in the night. Yet you sweep people away in the sleep of death. They're like the new grass of the morning. In the morning it springs up new, but by the evening it is dry and withered. All our days pass away under your wrath. We finish our years with a moan. Our days may come to 70 years or 80 if our strength endures.'" Some of the encouragement for you 70 and 80 year olds. "Yet the best of them are but trouble and sorrow, for they quickly pass and we fly away." And then here's the prayer that he prays that I think is so powerful that I'll talk a bit more right now. He says in verse 12, "Teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom." Teach us to number our days so that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Such a powerful prayer. And if you are smart enough, I would say, you should add this to your daily prayer. You should pray this daily along with every prayer that you have. "God, teach me to number my days so that I may have wisdom." You know, wisdom and understanding is found in this prayer. That when we realize that our days are numbered. So our days are numbered. That's the news that I have for you today. And I know that you're not maybe blown away by that news because it's not really an encouraging news. But the fact is, our days are numbered. And we all have a limited time on this earth. And once we're gone forever from this planet. So wisdom is found in this prayer. And he even says, Moses, because he was surrounded by people, the Israelites, a lot of people that he was taking out of Egypt, he knew how long people lived because he was the leader, and he knew that people were living only to 70 to 80 years, and that was their strength. Some maybe lived longer, but that was an average age, and that is an average even today if you think about it. So when we look at it this way, then we realize, hey, we don't have many days left. Let's make the most of it. Let's put them to use. And it's amazing how when we number days for, so for example, if you're a student and you have an exam and you, let's say you know it's coming up, you know, in 30 days, you're going to number it. You're going to study, you know, every single day you're going to prepare so that you know when you come to that exam that you are prepared. Whether you are a bride and a groom and you have a wedding plan and you have a day that's appointed, and you are numbering the days till the wedding. And we attend, you know, whether you're a new mom and you're pregnant, you're about to have a baby, same thing. We had three boys. We had, even if the baby does miss the due date is there, and we're numbering the days, and we're all numbering the days. When it comes to everything else in our life, it's funny, we number our days for everything, but when it comes to our life, we tend to forget, and we just sort of kind of get loose, and we just sort of kind of like live this life day by day, and don't worry about tomorrow, and yeah, that's what the scripture does tell us, not to worry about tomorrow, to make the most of each day, and that's what I want to talk about, this aspect of what are the things that we can do in a day to really make it count. You know, even Jesus, if you look at Jesus' life, I mean, he only lived 33 years, according to the record. And he only was in the ministry for 3 years. So if you look at Jesus' life, there's a couple events in the scriptures. The first one that happened was at the wedding that happened in Cana, when his mother came up to him and said, "Hey, son, there's no wine. Can you do something about it?" And then Jesus says, hold on, mom. Like, my time has not come yet. And there's a couple of times in the scripture that he's made this reference, my time has not come yet. So he was very aware of his time. He sort of, because Jesus was God, he sort of knew where he was. He knew how much time he's got left. And he was intentional. And that was his life. He was aware of his time. And he was aware where he was at. And my question for you today is, are you aware of your time? You may not know, you know, how long you're going to live, and I don't think none of us know. The Bible tells us that tomorrow is not guaranteed to us. So we can count that we're going to wake up tomorrow, but it's not guaranteed that we will wake up tomorrow. And we don't know what tomorrow holds. So the wisdom is found is making the most of your time today. You know, and I don't want to talk to you about, you know, 10 things you got to do in each day to make it count and give you some sort of list and all that stuff. I just want to focus on what really matters. And I want to encourage you that as you start being more intentional about your time, that you're thinking about, what am I doing today to make it count? So how do we make it count? How do we really wake up every morning and say, how do we make a decision to say, hey, I want to make it count today. Here are the things that I need to do to make it count. Well, simply the answer is found in scriptures. And we can point to scriptures and just read an account of Jesus when he was questioned by Sadducees and Pharisees. And one of the Pharisees came up to him and said, hey, Matthew 22. He says, he was an expert in law, but he said he wanted to test him with this question. Verse 38. Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? And Jesus replied, well, love the Lord your God with all your heart and your soul and your mind. And this is the first and the greatest commandment. And the second is just like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. And all the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. So what are the most important things that I can do with my time? Again, love the God with all your heart and soul, and love your neighbor as yourself. Before I die, you're saying that prestige, career, life, possessions, and all the accomplishments in this world don't matter? No, that's what I'm saying. I'm saying daily, here's the things, if you want to summarize everything that you've ever learned, everything that you've ever wanted to experience fully, if you wanted to live this life fully, here's the two things that you should do to make it count. Love God and love others. Very simple. And I summarize it in this one sentence. The most important time invested you will make daily will always be surrender to God and serving others. One more time. The most important time investment that you will make daily will always be surrender to God and serving others. So I kind of have my second motto that I live by was only what you do for God and others is what actually counts. And that is true. So first one is surrender. Surrender to God, which means love God. Surrendering our life fully to God. You know, a lot of people struggle with this one because it takes faith to surrender to God. If you struggle to believe in God, you will struggle to surrender to Him. And faith is that gap for a lot of people. Faith is the gap from living an ordinary life to living an extraordinary life. And once we realize this, then we realize that there's so much more to this life than just ourselves. It is so much better to live this life surrendered to God than to do our own thing. We have this problem in our society. Everyone is all about themselves. You know, everyone wants to be their own God. And God told us that in the last days, this will be the desire of many people. They will be doing all kinds of things, and they will be pleasing their own desires and living according to flesh and doing their own thing. But God's primary calling for you and me is to have a personal relationship with Him, to surrender to Him. The question that I have for you this morning is, have you done that? Do you have that in your life? Have you been born again? When was the last time that you actually surrendered to God, even if you have been born again? Who is in control of your life? If there's anything that is for certain that we've learned during this season, is that we are not in control. And there's not possibly not a single thing that we can make us believe that we're in control. you know, some of us want to say, well, government wants to control us and this and that. No. You yourself, personally, you are not in control of your life. God is a sovereign God, and he's in control. And God does allow some of the things to happen. I believe that God allows a lot of things to happen in our life so that he would draw us closer to him, so that he would help us, he would make us question some things. And especially during this COVID time, I think he's made all of us question our time commitments and what have we been doing beforehand that didn't really matter. Where did we waste our time? How do we spend our time? So the most important thing that you can do on a daily basis is surrender. Surrender and submit to God. If you look at Jesus' life, it says in Luke 5:16, Jesus often withdrew in the wilderness to pray. Now, it is more than just a religious practice, and it is more than just a prayer or going to church or doing something religious. It's got to do more with our heart and our position of our heart towards God. It is like ownership. You know, for those of you that drive cars, you know that the car that you drive, it's either yours, you own it, and if you open up the ownership, it says your name is on it, or maybe your parents or your grandma or whoever owns the car. So it's like ownership. Our life is not our own, is what Apostle Paul says. He says, my life is not my own. I only live my life in Christ, through Christ, and my life belongs to God. My life belongs to Jesus. So it is acknowledging the ownership of our life, that we are not our own, that we are not in charge, that we're not in control. And every single day of your life, if you want to make it count, you have to make this surrender. You have to surrender to God. And you have to say, God, today, I'm not in control. I surrender to you. And that is the most important thing that you can do daily. If you do that one thing out of two, is you're going to make that day count. It doesn't matter when you do it. Some people do it in the morning. Some people do it at the end of the day. But that is the one thing that you should do daily to make it count, to make your single day count. Number two is as close to this, and it is to love your neighbor, which I summarize in the word serve. So surrender to God and then serve others. The Bible talks a lot about servanthood. It says that the greatest among you shall be your servant, Jesus himself said. And Jesus himself, who was God, he came to serve us. And this was mind-boggling to disciples, because the disciples thought in their mind that if God does show up, as if the Messiah does show up, that they would be the ones serving that king, and he would make the reign over Israel, and he would rule, and then they would all have to serve him, and he would just... But Jesus shows up as a humble servant, and they were all confused. Who is this guy? I mean, if he is God, why is he serving us? We're supposed to serve him. But Jesus is setting an example. He's stripping away of all his godliness, and he's becoming a servant to teach us that this is what life is all about. Until the very last moment, he surrendered to God, Jesus himself, and he served the people. If you do everything with a kind heart and expect nothing in return, you will never be disappointed. We often like to be served in our own time. We all love to be pampered. We all love people to serve us and to please us and our needs and what we want. But in the kingdom of God, it's different. It's flipped. Because the Bible says that the greatest among you is going to be the servant. In God's eyes, you really are great. Not when others serve you, but when you serve them. We need to look around us. Decide to make it count daily. Look around us. And sometimes it is the closest people in our midst, our loved ones, that need that we can start with. You know, we always think how abstract this may be. We always think, well, who do I serve today? And then it's like, oh, thinking about all these other people. But I want to encourage you that it all starts right where you're at, in your own home. Start with the people that are closest with you. If you just take a day and you say, you know what, today I'm going to serve my wife, I'm going to serve my husband, I'm going to serve my kids, I'm going to serve whoever the closest to me, I'm going to help them, I'm going to encourage them with a kind word. You can't even imagine how much of a kind word can go for someone nowadays. An encouragement, bringing hope to someone. You know, sometimes we make it so complicated, but yet it's so simple. To make it count daily, you are to serve others. Find a way how you can serve someone today. Never get tired of serving. It will take people places that we could never imagine. That's why one of the most popular things that happens in the world is the random act of kindness. And I don't know if you've been part of that. I've been a part of that. It's crazy how the small random act of kindness that people do will trigger a wave of things. And then you probably have had this happen to you. If you've been a part of it, you go through a drive-thru and somebody pays a coffee for you. And you're like, naturally, you want to pay coffee, but then it was already taken care of. So you pay for the person behind you, and it just triggers this thing in circle until a selfish person drives through and doesn't pay back to the person and take it as a blessing and say, hey, thank you, God. Well, I didn't have to pay today. But, you know, it's crazy how in a selfish world that we live in, when a surprise like that happens, when you serve, when you go out of your way for someone, when you do something good, something, you serve someone in a certain way, when you go to someone and say, hey, how can I help you? How can I be of help? How can I serve you today? When actually you go intentionally to do that, amazing things happen. Marriages are restored. Our relationships that have been broken and torn apart are brought closer together. And things just turn around drastically. And that is why Jesus was left such a mark on this world. God himself came to serve us and help us. You know, in the scriptures it says this, Hebrews 3:15-16, it says this, do not forget to do good things for others and to share with what you have with them. These are the kinds of sacrifices that please God. And then there's another verse, Philippians 2:4, it says this, 2:3-4, it says this, consider others more important than yourself. Be concerned about the interest of others. Then another verse in Galatians 6:2 says, carry one another's burdens, and this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. And on, there's verses upon verses about servanthood and love towards your neighbors and those around you. And one thing that I want to point out is that the point of this life, even though in the world we all try to make it about us, but the point of our life is not us. It's the others. The point of your life isn't you. So I'd love to be on a side where at the end of my life, I look back in my life and I pray this prayer. First of all, I pray this prayer where I say, God, teach me to number my days because I know that my days are short on this earth. But at the same time, as I look back on my life, I want to say that I've made a count daily and that I haven't wasted my time, that you haven't wasted your time daily. You know, because days are passing by and there's an opportunity for you and me to surrender and serve every single day. And my encouragement to you would be this, don't waste it. Don't waste an opportunity to love God and to love others. And it really does work in this chronological order. It's once you surrender to God daily, first that all of a sudden most of your problems are gone because you know that God is in control and you surrender to him. Our days seem to go so much better when we wake up and we actually surrender first to him. We do use time to surrender to God, because when I haven't done that in the past, many times we get easily frustrated, we get easily angered, our flesh starts acting up, and we are not in, because we're not in tune with the Father. And then our spiritual life is not in tune with his Spirit. So how do we start each day matters. Also, how do we end each day matters. How do you start your day and how you end your days matters. I would encourage you that you would come to the end of your day and you would ask yourself, how did I make it count today? How did I surrender to God, and how did I serve someone today? Or at the end, at the beginning of every day, to be more intentional, to ask yourself a question, how can I surrender to God today? What do I need to surrender to God, starting with my own life? And then how do I serve others? We need to make a difference. We need to take advantage. We need to stop wasting our time, because times are short. And sometimes we think it's all these things that we got to do in a day, all this thing piled up, all the to-do things, and I got to check this off my list, and I got to check this off my list, and I got to check me. If you just remove all distractions and you remove all those, the noise and things that are going on in your life, and you just do these two things, surrender to God and serve someone, you will make it count. And that is the most important time commitment that you will make today. The most important time commitment you make daily will always be surrendering to God and serving others. And that way, you are making it count eternally. And the last thing that the wisest man on the earth that's ever lived beside Jesus said was this: regarding anything beyond this, dear friend, go easy. The last and the final word is this: fear God and do what he tells you. And that's it. Eventually, God will bring everything that we do into the open and judge it according to its hidden intent, whether it's good or evil. So, one of the greatest things that we can focus on daily is first and foremost to be spiritually awakened with God, to surrender our life to him, and then to serve others wholeheartedly. So what I want to do right now is I want to challenge you to add this daily prayer to your prayer time, and to even write in your journal, if whatever prayer you pray daily, to say, God, teach me to number my days so that I may gain understanding and wisdom, so that I may have wisdom, because our days are short. And soon we're going to be just like that smoke, passed away and gone forever. But it is only what we do for God and others that will make it count. It is only what you do for God and what you do for other people that will make an eternal difference for you. That's the only thing that's going to stay. When I was finishing up at the funeral, I thought about, you know, how at the funerals we always mention only the good things. We usually always mention only the things that the person has done that was good. And the servanthood, we point out the things that they were good at, the things, the memories they've created. It was mostly always the things that they have done for other people that mattered. And the people that are sharing usually, whether it's the family members or friends at the funeral, they usually always focus on those things as well, because those things really have made an internal difference on a person. And those things stay with us forever. So let us be wise. Let us understand that our life is nothing but a smoke. And let's just be more intentional about our time. Stop wasting our time, because our time is running out. You know, we have that saying in our world, you know, time is running out. You got to make the most of it. Make the most of every opportunity. The scripture tells us that. And also another scripture that tells us, make the most of every opportunity and do what you need to do today, because days are evil and days are short and tomorrow is not guaranteed. So whatever you need to do today, if you haven't surrendered your life to God today, I encourage you to do that. If you haven't served someone today, I encourage you to make an intentional, be intentional in your head of who you're going to serve, how you're going to go out of your way for someone, to really make it count. So how do we surrender our life to God? Very simply, if you have not become a Christian, or if you are thinking about, or you've been a Christian your whole life, you should be doing this daily. Say, God, I surrender my life to you. You're in control. I'm not. Help me to realize that, and help me to be surrendered to you completely, because I want you to be God of my life. I don't want to be God, because we make very lousy gods. We make terrible gods. If we were to be gods, the world would be a terrible place, and that's why we have a lot of wars and a lot of conflict and a lot of strife and wars, and all the things that are happening in the world is because people are wanting their own, they want to be gods, and they want to call the shots, and they think they're right. But we have to be submitted to God first, and we have to go out of our way to serve others. And when we do those two things, we make it count. Our time counts. So let's be the people that will not waste our time. Let's go forward with confidence when we wake up tomorrow. Let's look for these two things. Let's surrender to God. Let's serve someone. And let's make it count daily. Shall we pray? Father, we pray that today you would help us realize that our days are numbered and that we do have an end expiry date. And only you know, God. It's good that we do not know. But we do want to be wise and we want to make right choices. We want to walk in your way and do your will. So, Father, right now, for all of those that listening that have not committed their life to you, I just want you to pray this. Dear Lord, I surrender my life to you. Repeat after me. Dear Lord, I surrender my life to you. Please forgive me and help me do your will. And help me to serve others. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. God bless you and have a wonderful week.